You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a ton of topics to hit on the program today. Steve Merrill's going to join us as he does every Monday. We'll touch a little NASCAR. We'll talk some college basketball with Steve Merrill. The NFL Combine wraps up today. It's going on as we speak right now. Jason Braddock will join us from Houston, Texas. Nobody breaks down the Combine in the draft better than Jason Braddock does. So we'll break down some of the quarterbacks that were on display on Saturday. The DBs, the defensive backs are out there right now. Jabril Peppers on the field as we speak. We got a full slate of NBA games tonight. And from a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of options on the table tonight. Tony Sincott is going to join us to help us navigate our way through an extremely busy NBA card tonight. I got a ton of NBA bets for you. I got some college basketball bets. Teams continue to punch their tickets for the tournament. We got a couple of conference championship games tonight. In fact, we had three conference championship games going tonight. We're into the semifinals in a West Coast Conference. ACC starts tomorrow. Big 10, Big 12, and all that other stuff. Hey, let the madness begin. So we got a ton of stuff to hit on the program today. And as I mentioned, the National Football League Combine has been going on for the last couple of days. Today's the last day. The quarterbacks were on display on Saturday, and for the most part everything is pretty much the way that it was. There was nothing shocking. There were no shocking revelations as far as the quarterbacks were concerned. Deshaun Watson was the best one, the most comfortable one, and not a surprise, man. The guy's got ice in his veins, you know. Two consecutive national championship games, epic comeback against Alabama. He throws a lot of interceptions, and that's a little bit of a concern for him. But I am a Deshaun Watson fan, and, you know, we still have the pro days coming up, but it seems to be that Deshaun Watson sort of solidified his position as a top quarterback off the board. Mitchell. That was the college Mitch. Now he's in the NFL, it's Mitchell. And we're not kidding. He actually says, I'm not Mitch, I'm Mitchell. All right? So Mitchell Trubisky, he who started 13 games in his life at North Carolina, actually probably solidified himself as the second quarterback. They like what they see from this kid. Can of an arm, showed good footwork, pocket presence, and all that type of stuff that they're hoping for. Accuracy is a problem, but hey, he's a kid, he's a project. But you know, I don't know, I've seen this kid play a couple of times, and he does have that NFL it factor about him. I'm high on Trubisky. Kizer was what he was at Notre Dame. He's raw. I guess Kizer impressed with his arm strength. Kizer impressed because he's a good athlete. Kizer did not impress with his accuracy, and his footwork was bad. Everybody's raving about Patrick Mahomes right now. Listen, I watch a lot of Texas Tech football. Yeah, I don't know why everyone's in love with this guy as much as they are. He's a good quarterback, but is he a second-round quarterback? I don't know. That's what some people are talking about right now. But the bottom line is, even though there's a debate right now as far as the quarterbacks are concerned in the draft, the Cleveland Browns hold all the cards here, all right? They're drafting first and 12th in the draft. They got a million picks in the draft. So they could be dealing, they could get whoever the hell they want to get right now. But word on the street is they want Tyrod Taylor. And the question is, what are the Buffalo Bills going to do with Tyrod Taylor? They're on the clock right now. You know, they've got 6 days to decide whether they're going to extend honor the contract, the $92 million deal that they gave him. The fact of the matter is, Tyrod Taylor is only going to cost the Bills like $15.9 million against the cap this year. I am a Buffalo Bill fan, and I believe that the Buffalo Bills should keep Tyrod Taylor. You know, the Buffalo Bills did not make the playoffs because of Tyrod Taylor. The Bills were only a couple of games out of the playoffs, all right? You know, it's not Tyrod Taylor's fault that Rex Ryan freaking punted the football against the Miami Dolphins, is it? Like, really? You know, Rex Ryan is a moron, all right? He's an idiot. He's a doofus. He's a goofball. He's all of the above. You can't win with Rex Ryan. You know, Tyrod Taylor's not perfect, and I know, you know, there's a lot of negatives. He has a hard time when you blitz him. He's small. He doesn't read defenses very well. His accuracy is a little off, all right? There's a lot of negatives, but Mike Glennon's about to get $15 million a year, all right? Mike Glennon sucked at NC State. You know, the next person who walks up to me and tells me, oh, Mike Mike Glennon. I'm going to punch him in the face. Like, seriously, Mike Glennon sucks. You know how much money Mike Glennon's cost me in preseason football? The guy's not even a good preseason quarterback. You know, Chase Daniel, there's a quarterback. There's a preseason quarterback warrior. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Mike Glennon. If the Chicago Bears give Mike Glennon, like, really? This is your rebuilding? This is what you guys are going to do? You know, I didn't think it was possible for anyone to be stupider than Doug Whaley and the Buffalo Bills, but maybe the Bears are. Maybe the Bears are. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see it. A lot of people think, oh, Tyrod Taylor. What does Tyrod Taylor mean to the domino effect of this? It means a hell of a lot to the domino effect of this. It's not just the Cleveland Browns. There are teams that are hoping that the Buffalo Bills let Tyrod Taylor go because they can get him without giving anything up for him. And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you might be able to have the luxury of signing Tyrod Taylor and drafting him at Trubisky. It'll cost you, but Trubisky's not ready to start the National Football League just yet. But the fact that the dude's from outside of Cleveland and he's a Northeast Ohio product, I don't know if the Cleveland Browns are going to want to let this slip through their fingers. But predicting what National Football League general managers are going to do, it's like predicting what Kim Jong-un's going to do next, all right? Who the hell freaking knows? All I know is business is about to pick up in the National Football League. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. And, you know, I stated off the top of the program, predicting what NFL GMs are going to do is like what Kim Jong-un's going to do. And started a conversation. This dude, that guy's crazy, huh? That guy's crazy. Steve Merrill's, he knows that Kim Jong-un's crazy. But who's crazier, Kim Jong-un or the Chicago Bears for wanting to give $15 million to Mike Glennon? Like, seriously? Jason Braddock's going to join us from Houston, Texas. We're going to talk some NFL football combine quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Kaiser, Mahomes. He's seen a lot of Mahomes being in Texas. I've seen a lot of Mahomes because I bet a lot of Texas Tech overs this year. Steve Merrill knows all about Mahomes because he bets on college football as well. We got Tony Sincata's going to talk some NBA DFS with us. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe. You know, all this talk about quarterbacks, you know, Romo and Garoppolo. I heard a really good point a few weeks ago. They were saying, you know, they're going to have to give up a high first-round pick to get Garoppolo, and no one's going to do that. But then another analyst had a great point, I thought, and said if Garoppolo was in the draft this year and knowing, you know, what he might be capable of, he would be a top-three pick. And I think there's no debate about that. So why don't you give up a top-three pick to get him? It's just funny how people look at things. I thought that was a great point. I forget who said that a few weeks ago, but there's no question Garoppolo's worthy of a top-three pick if he was in the draft this year.
That's a good. It is a good way of looking at it as well. I mean, and you know what you're getting from Garoppolo as opposed to drafting one of these kids that's going to be a complete freaking gamble. Cleveland hold all the cards, and I said this off the top of the program, Steve. They've got like a slew of draft picks. They got a million draft picks. They got a pick in the first and the 12th pick as well. So they can pretty much do what they want. They're going to take Garrett first overall, I would assume. Tyrod Taylor, the Bills quarterback, Steve. I know the Browns could get him and then draft a bunch of dudes. Like, this thing's wide open right now. I mean, Romo's going to be out there. Romo's going to go to Denver, but I'm hearing your boys in Washington, actually. You know, Kirk Cousins, they might just end up trading him, actually. Like, it's not going anywhere. They're not getting along. And now there's talk that they just might go with Colt McCoy.
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel like Cousins is kind of at his prime right now. He's a serviceable quarterback. He's borderline all-pro. You know, he made the team this year by default when other guys didn't play. But you also get a feeling that he's capable of just falling apart at any point here in the next couple years. So, once again, it's about value. If you can get something worthy for him, I think McCoy is more than serviceable right now. He's won there before. But it's such a quarterback-driven league, more than it's ever been in history. You have to have a quarterback to compete. You look at the Final Four last year. You know, we talked about this during the AFC-NFC championship games. You had Rodgers and Ryan. You know, you had Brady. It's just Roethlisberger. You don't get to that level without a Class A quarterback. And I don't know if Garoppolo is a Class A quarterback. He might be another Cassell who was mediocre at best. But I don't think there's anyone coming out of college football this year that's necessarily a Class A, even if there's a surprise.
And plus, they've been coached. Like, if you're, let's say you're San Francisco. Oh, yeah, we'll take Deshaun Kaiser. Yeah, Deshaun Kaiser's raw. You don't know what you're getting. Yeah, he's athletic. You know, he was coached by Brian Kelly at Notre Dame as opposed to you got Garoppolo. Plus, he's smart. He's been in a system for the last couple of years. He's been around Tom Brady. He's been around. I guess the other argument of that would be that, well, what about Matt Cassel? Matt Cassel got big money after, and he wasn't great as a starter.
Yeah, I think Castle's the concern. There's no question about it. I think that's a very good analogy because it's basically the exact same situation. It's a guy that was behind Brady with the Belichick system and still was mediocre. He won some games but still didn't do much elsewhere. But, you know, what else are you going to go with? An unproven, you know, untested rookie out of college is a complete crapshoot. You know, Dak Prescott, you know, you look at him this year. Yeah, he had a great season, but he's behind the best offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for several seasons. Who knows if he'd be as good as he is right now if he was thrown into the fire in week one. It's very difficult. And if you look throughout history, the guys that get to sit a little bit do better. Tom Brady, sixth round pick, of course. And by the way, when I saw him trying to avoid sacks in the Super Bowl, I realized why he went in the sixth round. You see how immobile he really is. But he sat behind Bledsoe on a decent team. You know, they won the Super Bowl the year he came in as a backup. So yeah, there's something said about being, you know, behind a good team and also being behind a good offensive line. If you look throughout the NFL history, you know, guys that have done well. Roethlisberger came right in and played, but he had a decent team there in Pittsburgh. Jameis Winston, you know, a mediocre team in Tampa, has stepped right in. That's why I think Winston still has the potential to be very good.
Yeah, Winston and Mariota are just so good. They're such good athletes, and they're right, so high level that they were able to come in. I agree. I think out of all these quarterbacks, and from what I gather from the reports from the combine, that Deshaun Watson's the only guy right now that I think could actually start in the NFL. You know, Trubisky's only started 13 games in college. The guy's a kid. He could be good. And I would like to take Trubisky and put him on the shelf, like you said. Deshaun Kaiser's not ready to start in the NFL. Look, the guy was 5-4 and four wins in Notre Dame or whatever. And it's not like it's going to be easier for him if he's in the NFL. And people are loving Mahomes. Maybe Mahomes is this sleeper. But nevertheless, it's going to be interesting. And of course, we'll be able to bet on the draft, so we'll have some picks for you on that. But let's jump in, Steve. Brad Keselowski wins in Atlanta despite only leading 21 laps. And I guess that's the moral of the story when betting on NASCAR. It's a cold world, man. Kevin Harvick was the favorite. Kevin Harvick led 293 of the 312 laps. But it's a cold world, and Harvick's on the outside looking in.
He's led over 100 laps in five of the last six Atlanta races. I think he's led the most laps in five of those six races, and he's yet to win. It's really remarkable. It just shows once again why you have to be so careful with him at those 5-1 odds like we talked about on Friday. He's always a top five car, but he doesn't finish first as much as he should. Yet from a fantasy perspective, yesterday he still put up a ton of points with all those laps led.
Yeah.
And the intermediate track guys did pretty well yesterday. I thought another big story, Ford, top of the 13, seven of the top 13 finishes Ford again, including Keselowski, who won.
Yeah, back to back.
We talked about how they did well
at
Daytona.
That's two for two. Yeah, you're right, Ford. You know, Kyle Larson. We thought that Kyle Larson was a live dog, Steve. 16-1, ends up finishing second. I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a driver to watch on these tracks.
Yeah, it's funny. Larson's the same way as Harvick. He's not won as many races the last couple years as he should. You know, he really should have won the Homestead race. He had some races last season, which he was the best car, but didn't get the win. Yet the difference is you're getting, like you said, 16-1 odds. So I'm willing to take a chance on the guy that's got a top five car at 16-1 and might miss out like he did. You can also get some good value on a top three or a top five with Kyle Larson for that reason, because you're getting better odds. Fantasy, he can be very potent as well. But as we talked about Friday, he also has a tendency to have some bad races. Kevin Harvick, you know, meanwhile, never has bad races. The other guy I mentioned, though, on Friday was Chase Elliott. He was very strong again. He ran second best most of the day. Ended up finishing fifth, which really wasn't indicative of how strong he was. He had one of the best cars at Daytona the week before. I think this is going to be a real breakout season for the 24.
It's amazing, though, Stevie. We were talking about NFL quarterbacks a minute ago, and you don't know from college the development into the National Football League. It's completely different, and it's amazing that leading into Daytona, Joe Gibbs, and, you know, with all the qualifying and the testing and everything, they look so good. But so far, I know it's only two races, but Joe Gibbs struggling. Kenseth finished third, but Hamlin and Bush both had issues all day. Something to keep our eye on. Ford strong, Gibbs struggling so far.
Yeah, you know something jumped out at me about Kyle Busch is he ran both the truck race and the nationwide, the Xfinity race on Saturday, and he also had practice time for the Cup Series, and then he had to race Sunday. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's too much.
Busch isn't getting any younger, and he had that bad leg injury two years ago. So I actually kept him off the card Sunday for that reason. I don't know if that played a part or not, but he wasn't very good. Hamlin actually had a very good car in practice, but ended up with mechanical problems, and he went from top 10 to out of the pack. So, you know, that's kind of what happens sometimes. But one thing I will point about young drivers, Daniel Suarez is in the 19 car now for Carl Edwards, who suddenly retired in the offseason. Suarez was fantastic in the Xfinity Series. Just shows what a different level this is because he's playing catch-up right now. We're going to have to wait to see him do something before we use him.
Las Vegas is up next, and I read the local Vegas papers. I haven't lived there still, Steve, and I see that they're going to add a second race, actually, to Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not official yet, but it's happening pretty much.
I mean, it's a great place to go out to. The only problem with Vegas
they're worried, though. Even the Vegas people are like,
I've been to that race. You know, I told you it's one of the most painful sights in the history of mankind to see the thousands of beers unopened stacked at the entrance because they would not let you bring drinks in. It was the only track I've ever been to. You couldn't bring coolers and drinks in Vegas, of all places. Who would have thought? But yeah, it's in the middle. It's past an Air Force base. It's about 45 minutes out to the desert. You had to take a bus from the casinos out there. It was a real miserable trip, actually. And then, you know, it's an early start Vegas time, so it's not a really well-attended race, but it gives people a reason to travel out there. So for Vegas themselves, it's probably a good loss leader. But keep in mind, the travel for the teams is a big issue. That's why they clump these California, Vegas, and Phoenix races all together, because you're basically going from Charlotte, North Carolina, all the way to the West Coast by hauler. That's pretty rough for the teams bringing the equipment and whatnot.
Somebody's losing a race, too. That's the deal. They're going to have to take a race away.
Yeah, Atlanta's already got one. I mean, Atlanta's only got one. Yeah. You know, Darlington only has one. You're talking about the premier tracks in the history of NASCAR.
I know. Exactly.
It's a little strange.
Okay, so let's blast through some college basketball. Three teams set to punch tickets, automatic bids to the tournament this evening. Colonial, unfortunately, your Dukes couldn't get there again, man. James Madison
tried.
Falls short. Unbelievable. I didn't realize this. They've never made the tournament before, huh?
No, William and Mary, not James Madison.
William and Mary. Sorry.
Yeah, Madison's made it. Yeah, William and Mary, it's a hell of a trivia question. There's only five teams.
Yeah, so James Madison's never made it. Sorry, I don't want to insult you.
No. James Madison's made it.
William and Mary's never made it.
Correct.
And you are a William and Mary alum.
Correct. Yeah, there's five teams since the 1940s. There's other teams that haven't made it that are new teams, but the original Division I teams back in the 1940s when it began, there's only five that have never made it. Northwestern is the other big name, and they're going to make it this year, even if they don't win the Big Ten. William & Mary will not make it once again. St. Francis of New York came one game away a couple years ago, just like William & Mary. And the other two are Army and Citadel, who aren't making it anytime soon. But here's a great trivia twist to that. Army made the tournament with Bobby Knight in the late 60s, they turned it down to go to the NIT.
Ooh.
So a little bit of an asterisk there.
Interesting. Yeah, and I sure remember William and Mary because you went to school at the same time as the Brian Knapp guy, right, from Countermove.
Brian was a wrestler. And Mike Tomlin was 2 years ahead of me, and Sean McDermott was 1 year behind me. I actually knew Sean, new Buffalo head coach. And on the 94 William and Mary team, Dan Quinn was his first assistant job out of college. So the 1994 William and Mary football photo has Tomlin, McDermott, and Dan Quinn all in the photo.
Oh, so you're
three
buddy?
NFL coaches out of 32.
Your buddy's with McDermott. Can you get us tickets?
McDermott's a good guy. I'll tell you what. He's the coach you guys want in Buffalo.
Yeah, he's good, huh?
Yeah, he's just a rock solid. I mean, the guy's been an overachiever. He was a Class A wrestler in Pennsylvania. White defensive back at William & Mary, became all-conference. The guy overachieves everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I can tell that. He's a hard worker. Hey, you know, compared to Rex Ryan, I'll take it.
Yeah, okay, it's a complete 180
the
Rex
opposite,
Ryan. No question about that.
Okay, so Colonial. Charleston and Wilmington tonight. Both teams are hot. Both won a 6 in a row. Both played close games in a regular season. Ironically, they both won on each other's home floor. They both cruised along here. Wilmington are 8-2 against the spread last 10 in this series. And, of course, Wilmington went to the dance last year as well.
Yeah, Wilmington's the better team, but this is not a good matchup for them. Charleston's the best defensive team in the Colonial, one of the top 10 defensive teams really in the country this year. Wilmington is all offense. They beat William & Mary 105-94 yesterday. That was the most points scored since 1995 when Old Dominion put up 110 on George Mason in the NCAA tournament game. That will not be the case tonight as Charleston allows about 61 per game. And this is not the true home court for Charleston. It's the North Charleston Arena. It's not their true home court, but you got to figure it's going to be packed with mostly Charleston fans.
Metro Atlantic tonight, Siena versus Iona. Seems like these two, it's not the first time these two have played to get into the tournament. Numbers a little short here. It surprises me, but this is in Albany, of course. And the Saints coming off an epic comeback versus Monmouth. They're going to be pretty confident. Ironically enough, once again, they split the season series. Both times, the home team lost. Siena's on a 4-0 ATS run. Speaking of scoring points, Iona can light it up. They score like 80 points a game. Siena score like 74 a game.
Yeah, the money's coming in Iona. They went from a one-point favorite to now a two-and-a-half-point favorite today, so a little bit of sharp action on Iona. As you mentioned, the road underdog won both regular season meetings, so it should be a tight one.
All right, the Southern Championship. Now we're digging a bit here, Steve. East Tennessee State versus NC Greensboro. Games in Asheville, North Carolina, two best teams in the conference. Yeah, they both were real good, 16-4 and 17-3 in conference play. Greensboro won both games this year, but they were both close by 4 and by 6.
Yeah, this game in Asheville, as you mentioned, so it'll be a slight home edge for Greensboro within a couple hours. I would think they'd have more fans here at this game tonight. And they won both regular season games. And, you know, people say it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. That's not necessarily true. More times than not, more than 50% of the time, these teams actually get swept in a three-game in the regular season.
And finally, in closing, we got some semifinal action tonight. West Coast semifinals from New Orleans in Vegas. BYU and St. Mary's. St. Mary's laying a touchdown. -7, -143. We got Santa Clara versus Gonzaga. Santa Clara have actually been a scrappy team this year, but they got murdered by Gonzaga twice. Gonzaga have made, you know, they've been covering those big numbers, and BYU and St. Mary's a couple of comfortable wins against the Cougars this year. Any thoughts on the West Coast?
Well, Gonzaga finally lost to BYU about a week ago there in that regular season finale. They took it out on Pacific, won by 32 and covered once again. They're still 21-6 against the spread this year, the best point spread team in the nation and the best straight up team. And Santa Clara, one of their top guards, is questionable tonight. So real crapshoot there.
Yeah, you know, and Gonzaga want to get they're playing for a one seed. They're still jockeying. They always have a chip on their shoulder. So, you know, Gonzaga won't let up. And it's a good point as far as BYU is concerned. I'm tempted by the points with BYU, but I tell you what, if not for Gonzaga, people would talk about how good this St. Mary's team is.
Yep.
Hell of a season for St. Mary's this year.
Yeah, and everyone thought St. Mary's is the 4-point home dog on Saturday night about a month ago. That was going to be the game that, you know, Gonzaga lost. It turned out to be a BYU game as a 21-point favorite. St. Mary's won both games this year against BYU and covered both as well.
Yeah, all right, Steve. So next time we talk, we'll be into the big-time college conference tournaments. And then next Monday, we'll know the bracket. Great time of the year. Thanks.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. All right, we'll talk some NFL football. Jason Braddock joins us next. All right, the NFL Combine is wrapping up in Indianapolis as we speak. My boy Jabril Peppers was out there on the field. All these people, I don't know what position he plays. I don't know what position he plays. Who cares what position he plays? He's a football player, right? Put him on the field, he's going to roam around. He's a roamer, man. That's what he does. But I would assume that he'll end up being a safety in the National Football League. All right, let's bring in Jason Braddock. You want to talk NFL? Nobody knows more about the NFL than Jason Braddock does. Sports Talk 790, Houston, Texas, steps up and in. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Gabe?
Hey, always a pleasure. Quickly on Jabril Peppers. Yeah, he's a roamer. I mean, you know, a comparable player would sort of be a Troy Polamalu. He's a combination of Brian Urlacher and Troy Polamalu, really. But I see he's going to be a safety, I would guess, right?
Yeah, he's going to be a safety. And as far as where you play him, I think that adds to his value. This guy, I think he ran a 4.46 yesterday. And on tape, I saw him as a 4.3 guy. And then I heard him after the run talk about how he added on 13 pounds. So there's different things you can do where he can add on 13 pounds and still be a mid 4.4 guy. Or if you want to just get him down as a pure safety, you can get him back down to that 4.3 speed that you see on tape. Explosive, fast. Plays with range, physical tackler. So there's so many different things. I think predominantly he'll be a safety, but he can drop down in that that box. He can give a team a hybrid look that's possibly a 3-4 team that wants to go hybrid 4-3 and play him on that weak side as the backer. He could drop down into the slot, and you saw yesterday that he has the fluidity and the hips to turn with some of the shiftiest slot receivers. So there's so many different things that you can do with him, but in his purest form, he will be a safety.
All right, Jason. So Myles Garrett, sort of the consensus number one as far as like talent and ability is concerned. Cleveland holds all the cards right now. They got a million draft picks, but Myles Garrett just smashed it out of the park, man. You know, a lot of times guys, oh, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, or they feel a sense of entitlement since they know, hey, I'm supposed to be the number one pick overall. He ran a 4.6, 4.40. He weighs 272 pounds, guys. 4.6. He weighs 272. His vertical jump, I watched the video of the vertical. I watched it like five times because I was in awe. like I've never seen anything like that. Like, a guy that big, he jumps 41 freaking inches, but he jumps, and then, like, he extended after when he was in the air. Craziest thing ever. I saw that it was the top 97 percentile ever in the NFL Combine. Oh, yeah, he did 10.8 foot in the broad jump. If the NFL doesn't work, he should be a decathlete in the Olympics, Jason, because this guy can do it all.
Hey, guy's smart as well. Great personality. Had a chance to catch up with him at on Radio Row Super Bowl week. Very teachable. Seems humble. He's not what, when you see a guy that freakishly talented wise, you would expect him, especially at a young age, to just be brass and just running off. But you can tell he's a teachable kid that has that personality that wants to continue to learn. And I think that upside potential on top of the freaky athleticism is what will basically force teams to say, look, you know, he has to be the number one guy in the draft. Even a team like Cleveland that keeps passing on possible franchise quarterbacks, I don't think you can really fault them this year for passing on that quarterback to go with a guy like a Myles Garrett, or, you know, even throwing a name like Jonathan Allen, who didn't really blow up the combine, but the tape's the tape. And I don't really care about the mildly arthritic shoulders. Spoke with some NFL players, and they say most players play with those type of symptoms. And I don't think it should affect his stock, even though reports are coming out saying that it will.
Well, let's lead. Speaking of Alabama, Reuben Foster. And, Jason, you know, it's not fair to say that Alabama players are bust in the NFL. You know, Julio Jones is the best NFL. He's the best receiver in the league. You know, Clinton Dix played some great football for the Packers down the stretch. Like, there are guys, there are Bama guys that are ballers, but there's also a handful of Bama guys that are disappointments, that are attitude cases, that have off-field issues. And I look at players at Alabama, it's hit or miss, but I think a lot of kids at Bama, once they get that money, man, I mean, they grow up so poor. Saban's getting really, really hungry players, and they've been driven hard by Saban. And I think now some Bama guys think, now it's my turn, man. I'm not going to get abused. There's no more. I'm not poor anymore. You know, and it changes them a little bit. And Reuben Foster, hell, this guy didn't even wait to get rich before he's running his mouth. This is a problem to me, man. Like, I don't know how it's possible to get into an argument with doctors, you know, over wait time. And, you know, do you know who I am? And, you know, that's a bad look at an NFL combine with in a room full of other star players, that you elevate yourself in a negative light like this. Listen, I know he didn't fall off the board or anything because of this, but to me, it's a red flag. I'd be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, Gabe, especially with Alabama players. We see the mental side of it a lot of times with these kids coming out of Alabama and they get to the NFL level. There's that track record, like your Rolando McClain's, that they just do dumb stuff.
Marcel Darius, he's a good player, but whatever. He's running his mouth all the time. He's out of shape, and he gets suspended every year.
Absolutely. So the track record's there. So it will cause some concerns, cause you to question how high you want to draft a guy. That being said, what did we hear for the last couple months? Oh, Joe Mixon, doesn't matter how talented he is, he's going to go on one drafted. What we saw on videotape is unacceptable. And now, as me and you're discussing, tweets are coming across, and I've seen this all weekend. Report, teams say Mixon is a top 75 may go in the second round. So talent reigns supreme still in the NFL. We saw Tyreek Hill last year. Yeah. Everyone, even though he wasn't the household name as Joe Mixon, when the Chiefs snuck him in under the radar there on the day three
and
of
Reuben
the draft.
Foster, and to Foster's defense, you know, getting into it with some doctors isn't the same as beating women up, right? So
100%.
Yeah, like,
correct.
But it's, so yeah, I don't want to group them in like this, but still, it's still a little bit of a red flag. And then, you know, and the contradictory nature after of it, in which he sends a letter to every team in the NFL apologizing, stating he's embarrassed and he should have kept his mouth shut. But then at the same point in time, he pulls a Trump and he goes online and he's like, nothing happened. Stop asking me. And I'm thinking, oh God, like, you know, I don't know, kid. I don't know if I want to make you a rich man, because I don't know what you're going to do with the money and how you're going to act. But Deshaun Watson's going to be a rich man. He's the most ready guy right now. But is he going to be the best guy down the road? Hey, we don't know. But it seems like Mahomes is a guy that's really working his way up the ladder the most, Jason, out of Texas Tech.
Yeah, I would exercise caution with Patrick Mahomes. I feel like it's deja vu all over again. Last year, a quarterback came out. People were talking about him as possibly the best quarterback in the draft. Early on in the process, people were saying he could be the number one pick. And then the Denver Broncos selected him in the first round, Paxton Lynch. And I said, well, the guy shouldn't go any earlier than the second round because he's going to be a 2 to 3 year project. Well, then Denver, as we all saw last year, tried to turn to him. He wasn't ready. And now they don't think he'll be ready this year. That's why the rumors out there about guys like Tony Romo. And so Patrick Mahomes, the tape, the splash plays that excite you, similar to Johnny Manziel, they excite you. These guys go typically the end of the first round, but I think it would be a mistake because I don't think he's going to be ready for 2 to 3 years, and he may never reach his potential. So I would exercise caution there. I'm sure some team probably will take him at the end of the first round, get him for that extra fifth year under the contract, but I don't think he's a first-round talent.
I agree with you. To me, he's, you know, honestly, he's like a fourth-rounder. If I'm like, I'm not in love with this guy, and I don't want to hold it against him that he played in a spread offense at Texas Tech, but I'm going to hold it against him that he played in a spread offense at Texas Tech.
Well,
he's a good athlete.
You know,
he reminds me of Kaepernick a little bit, Jason, and it's funny because Kaepernick had the baseball background, too, and of course, if you're wondering, Mahomes, if the name sounds familiar for you old timers out there, his father is that Mahomes, the Major League Baseball pitcher. So he's got the athletic pedigree. He's got like the baseball motion kind of arm. He reminds me of Kaepernick a little bit, actually.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unfair comparison.
Or
I got
a good thing, right?
right. That as well. I have a third round grade on Patrick Mahomes. I actually like the kid Nathan Peterman out of Pitt better than Mahomes. I have a second round grade on him. But I think there's two quarterbacks in this class. I got a first round grade on only two quarterbacks. Deshaun Kizer, who everybody's bagging on right now, and Deshaun Watson. Listen, these guys, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, they go to the combine. They're supposed to throw it to one wide receiver only. There's no progressions. There's no pass rush. So it always makes me laugh when I hear these guys' stock are rising. They're evaluating all that. But you watch the film. These guys are reading bell quarterbacks. They'll lock onto that first progression. Then after that, they try to bail out the pocket. That's not the NFL game. You have to change these quarterbacks' DNA to make them franchise quarterbacks in the NFL. With Deshaun Kizer, he'll stand in the pocket. He'll go through his progressions. He'll make the throws. Are there some inconsistencies in his footwork? Absolutely. But those are technique things that quarterback coaches in the NFL and head coaches, they can develop that out of them. I'd rather develop someone's technique in the NFL rather than completely change their DNA of the quarterback they've been their entire life.
Jason Braddock, Sports Talk 790, Houston, Texas. Excellent insight as always, Jason. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, man.
My pleasure. Thanks.
There's Jason Braddock with us. And as you can see, I mean, there's a wide degree of opinions on these quarterbacks coming into the National Football League right now. Some people really like Kizer a lot, like Jason just does. Some people really are locked in on Trubisky. Trubisky's not ready to start. start. That's the thing. And I'm telling you, Deshaun Watson is the most ready guy right now. Like, you take Deshaun Watson right now, you drop him on the Jets, he's your starting quarterback. Like, you know, like he can start right now. There'll be growing pains. Trubisky's a guy you've got to put on the bench. You've got to develop a little bit. He's only started 13 games. He's a kid. He's a freaking sophomore, man. Like, you know, the guy's a kid. Kaiser's got that ability that, you know, I don't know. Kaiser, I'm torn on. I actually hold it against Kaiser a little bit that Notre Dame lost as much as they did. You know, he seemed lost at times, and he seemed to give up at times. All right, Tony Cincata joins us next. We're going to talk some NBA DFS. Let's talk some NBA DFS. Let's bring in Tony Cincata. Normally joins us via Skype. Phone's better than nothing. We'll take it.
Yeah. But I miss Gabe. You know, I like to see your crazy outfits. You know, sometimes you're going with the team gear. Sometimes you're looking like the shop gear. Like,
I mixed it up today, Tony. I know. I figured you would like that. I'm wearing a Kyle Lowry All-Star jersey today. I went with the jersey.
See? Yeah. See, this is what we're missing out in the world. So we got to get this corrected for next week. We'll get it corrected. But I'm ready to take down some money so we can buy some more jerseys.
Better than last week. Cardano joined me via Skype, which is never a good thing. And then secondly, we were wearing the exact same damn thing. We had like the same blazer, same like checkered red shirt. It was amazing, but it's actually a little bit worrisome. I think more concerned for Mike that he's like, God, man, I got to start dressing better if I'm looking like Morenci. But nevertheless, I think we can potentially be dressing better tomorrow, Mike, because there's a lot of options on the board tonight in DraftKings, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's two options you've got to start out with because they're cheap and then you build your teams around. Bismack Biyombo will get the start again tonight. No Nikolai Vukovic is looking like. So you put Biyombo in it. He's $3,000, the minimum salary, and he'll have a double-double, put up 30 fantasy points. You'll get 10 times your value. The second guy you got to go with is Ty Lawson. Lawson's going to be in a game with a high total. He's been getting 30-plus minutes where they play in the, you know, at the point guard or the two guard. So those two guys are going to cost you $7,000 between them, and then you load up elsewhere.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm amazed that Biyombo, I was surprised to see that he was only $3,000.
Yeah.
You know, the bare man. I'm surprised they didn't make it 39, 37, 38, whatever. But nevertheless, foul concern, that's the only problem. I mean, he can get foul crazy, this guy. But yeah, for $3,000, it's an obvious must play. Another guy, actually, I saw for $3,000 on the board, not as safe as Biyombo, because he's not going to get the same type of minutes, but Johnny O'Brien signed a second 10-day contract. We're starting to get to the time of year, Tony, too, where the 10-day contract guys step up. You know, I remember Covington came out of nowhere like this, starts racking up the numbers at a minimum price, and Johnny O'Brien, $3,000, he only played 15 minutes the other night with Kaminsky being out now, but he was 7-9 from the field, 24 DK points in 15 minutes for $3,000 for O'Brien the other night.
Yeah, this one's a little risky. Now, absolutely, I love your thinking here, and you go in the cheap. Yeah, Friday night, I did something similar. It paid off. I told people, take Tyler Ulis. They're playing more and more the young guys. Yep. It doesn't make sense not to play him, and it lit up. This could be the same situation here. So I like this call.
Well, the thing with O'Brien is, listen, we don't know what we're going to get. He only played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But they're running out of bodies. Charlotte's played a lot recently. Well, they all play a lot recently, but it's been a grind for the Hornets. They're banged up. Zeller comes back, and then the bad news is, boom, they end up losing Kaminsky after the fact. So he could get some minutes, actually. And, hey, why not? You're going to give the guy a chance. He was 7-9 in 15 minutes the other night, right? Another guy like this, too, that I had in my lineup, but there were so many options. I ended up bumping him, but Nick Stauskas is another guy. Pretty cheap. He's $4,000, but Philadelphia's running out of bodies. And we'll get to Sarek in a second here. But, you know, Stauskas is kind of hit or miss, but you know, he's getting better, Nick. 10 of 15 from the field the other night.
No, he's a guy that I always think that if he gets more playing time, that he would be a guy that would be consistently putting up fantasy points. So that's not a bad play there. The problem with a lot of these shooting guards is they're so one-dimensional because they only get points.
Yeah.
And they don't get their assists and rebounds. So that's why tonight I'll probably pay up for Jimmy Butler in that game against Detroit.
Yeah, especially with Wade's out. Wade's out. Butler comes up. Okay, a guy that you like, actually, and kind of kicking myself for not squeezing it in, but I give one lineup a day. It's tough, you know, especially when there's so many games on the board. But Kawhi Leonard, oh my God, he's been on fire. 54 DK or more in three straight games. Got to track me tonight against the Rockets.
Yeah, this is Kawhi Leonard. I think people don't realize how good he is, right? People, like, you talk about that position right there. You got LeBron James that people want to play. When Kevin Durant was there and Jimmy Butler, this guy sort of goes under the radar. It's unbelievable because that San Antonio team, I don't care what people say, it's not as good as it used to be. The record is good. This guy's leading them every single night.
Well, how about Dario Saric's consistency as well? 38 or more DK points in 9 of his last 10 games, man. That's freaking consistent. It's $7,400 right now. But as I stated, listen, the Sixers are playing the Bucks tonight, and they're running out of bodies, man. Like, the Sixers, they literally have, like, 7 guys.
Milwaukee does not defend big men well, too. So this is a good match for Dario Saric tonight. He's a guy absolutely you want to put in your lineups. $7,400. Tonight's great. And here's the weird thing about the power forward position. DraftKings has adjusted the algorithms to account for teams' defenses. So the two guys in New Orleans might be underpriced tonight. Anthony Davis at $9,400 and DeMarcus Cousins at $9,700. I've noticed that when teams play Utah, that the star players are too underpriced, and they usually exceed value.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I actually bet these Utah games over all the time when they play these bad defensive teams, and they always go over. They're always higher scoring. Like, they played a couple of weeks ago. The total was 196. They ended up put up like 227 or something like that. It's a good point. You know, when I saw the Leonard staying, I was like, man, Leonard, I've got Leonard on a season-long team. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I'm a big San Diego State guy, too, so I've seen this kid play from day one. $9,300. I was like, damn, I don't know. Maybe that's better value than taking Karl Anthony Towns. But Towns has just been, he's raising his level, his play to a new level right now. You know, put up 73 DK points last week, dropped to 60, you know, routinely putting up the 45-50. And he should own the boards tonight against the Blazers as well. I'd be surprised if he doesn't score 60 plus.
I totally agree with you. I think if you look at it tonight, the Portland Trailblazers, they're a lot better with Nurkic there, but still they are weak against big men. They get up and down the court. You get plenty of possessions. You know what? I put them in for 55, and that's a conservative approach. I don't usually have too many guys for 50-plus points, but this guy tonight, big, big night for Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, I have him the second highest score tonight behind James Harden.
I like, I stacked it, too. I squeeze Rubio in here. Just, you know, Rubio for the price, $6,700. He's coming off a triple-double on Saturday. He's very consistent. He's playing better basketball. I don't know. They're going to trade Zach LaVine. Everyone's better since he hasn't been there. It's kind of weird.
I totally agree. And it's so funny because before Zach LaVine got hurt, he started to notice it. All of a sudden, Zach LaVine wasn't shooting the ball. He was going under 10 times and the team was better. And now he's got hurt and they're better. And Ricky Rubio has been a fantasy god, and he's under $7,000. The only thing is, I love Michael Conley tonight as well, and they're very close in price.
I played them both. I squeezed them both in. I got Conley and Rubio. My team tonight, Conley. I'm a sucker for Fournier. There's not a ton of upside, but the son of a bitch gives you 25-30 every night, Tony. Gallinari. Jokic is a monster, but Gallinari is averaging 22 points a night since the 5 games he's back. Towns, Biombo, Rubio. You brought up Nurkic. Nurkic, I like the fact here, if there's a rebound in this game, I'm getting it, Tony, between Towns and with Nurkic. And this guy does it all, man. He's like an old-school Sabonis, man. He passes, he rebounds, he gets assists, he blocks shots. He's a great fantasy player.
After watching him play, what a horror. horrible trade the Denver Nuggets made, losing this guy. And I couldn't believe that those two guys couldn't play together, or they didn't let them play together. This guy can really play. He's a very good passer. He's very intense on the court. He's smart. Plus, they got a first-round pick. I mean, what the hell happened here?
All right, when I saw him, too, I'm like, Denver, you guys couldn't find minutes for this guy? Dude, he was like the best player on the court. He's blocking shots, running the ball down the court, passing, hits an 18-footer, behind-the-back pass. The guy, he looked like an all-star.
Yeah, I can't believe it, how good this is. Portland probably too far behind, won't make the playoffs this year, but next year you can mark them as a top eight team.
We got to get out of here, but last year Blazers were hot. Everyone liked them coming into this year, but you're right. They've struggled a little bit this year. I like the makeup, though, with him. Aminu's going to be a nice player. You got the two. They just need another couple of guys in there. Harkless isn't bad, but they need a couple of more veterans in there, I think. But we got to get out of here, Tony. Always a pleasure, my man.
Hey, take care.
There's Tony Sicada with us. We're going to come back with our lineup and our plays of the day. All right, I've got a full slate of NBA basketball on the board this evening. Let's give you our DraftKings lineup for tonight. There's a lot of options. A couple of players that aren't in my lineup, I'll let you know after I give the lineup that I think are playable as well. But let's start off with a guy that I think is a must-play in Mike Conley, all right? We're going to pick on the Brooklyn Nets once again. Conley's a machine, $8,100. He puts up superstar type of numbers. He's averaging 28.3 points per game over his last four games. He's put up 46 or more DK points in three of his last four. 41 DK or more in his last four. They played the Nets a couple of weeks ago, and he put up 44 DK points. I'm expecting 44 to 50 points from Mike Conley tonight. Evan Fournier is a guy that I like to play. There's not a ton of upside with Fournier. He's not going to give you that 45, 50, 55 point outburst, but he is going to give you the solid 25 to 32 points every time he steps onto the basketball court. I like him in this spot against the New York Knicks team that played yesterday against the Warriors. All right. Jokic might miss this game. I don't know. He could play, but whatever. Either way, I like Gallinari. Since Gallinari's been back with it from his injury, he's averaging 22 points per game. He's put up 31 or more DK points in four of his last five. All right, Karl Anthony Towns. No explanation necessary. The guy's killing it, man. He's putting up like 17 rebounds a night recently. Bismack, nice to have you back, Biombo. He's the bare minimum, $3,000, man. Vucevic is out. Biombo, just don't foul out. You can give us 25, 30 DK points. All right, Rubio. Ricky Rubio's been a monster. I'm going to stack him with Towns. Assists, points, rebounds between the two of them. Wayne Ellington. I've been playing Wayne Ellington. I don't think I've ever played Wayne Ellington before, but I'm going to take the Duke of Ellington in this spot. $3,400. He scored 46 points in his last three games. He's put up 63 DK points in this spin. You know, I was looking at other guys in this range, and he seems to be the most consistent. I'd rather have Ellington, who I know can give me 20, 25 DK points, than a Chandler Parsons. And we wrap it up with Nurkic. Man, this guy's been great. What a steal for the Blazers. Does a little bit of everything. He's in tough tonight against Towns, but it's going to be a higher scoring game. And the guy racks up the assists, the rebounds, the steals, the blocks. He scores. I like Nurkic tonight at $6,900. As far as our plays of the day are concerned, we got to be quick. You know, the Heat blasted the Cavs the other night when the Cavs arrested Irving and James. I don't know if they're going to kill him by this much. Give me Miami plus +8, even though it's a revenge spot. Give me the over 215.5. You know, the Golden State Warriors endless road trip continues. I think they're going to be in tough tonight. Give me the Atlanta Hawks plus the 5.5, 6. Let's go with the Warriors and the Hawks over 217. Pelicans and Jazz over $198.5. College basketball over 142 in the Charleston game. I'm going to lay the 2.5 with Siena. Let's go over 151. Nebraska, Omaha, -1. And Santa Clara and Gonzaga, over 136.5. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.